Hi, this is Lee Phillips. I'm an attorney, counselor to the Supreme Court of the United States. Thank you for getting my advanced operating agreement. We're going to go through the operating agreement step by step and show you what can be done, what can't be done, why it should be there, so that you understand your operating agreement. This is the heart of your LLC. If you've gotten the 3 to 5 pages off of the internet or even from the lawyer, you haven't got it. You can't address the issues that need to be addressed in operating an LLC if you've only got 3, 4, 5 pages. You need 15, 20, 25, 30 pages. I've helped hundreds and hundreds of people do LLCs and understand LLCs. I've lectured all over the United States, in fact, all over the world, on how to structure businesses, how to plan for the asset protection, how to plan for the taxes. How you structure the business, how it's operated, makes a huge difference in the asset protection you get and the money you take home, because it all affects the taxes. And the IRS is your major impediment to financial success in your little business. If you learn how to use the IRS's laws, you can take home a ton more money. And the LLC, the corporation, give you the advantage of being able to use laws that you can't use as an individual. Often you have to authorize use of those laws in the operating agreement. I'm going to teach you how to use your LLC and do magical things with it. We can do all sorts of stuff. Let's get started. I'm going to assume that you've already filed your articles of organization or your certificate of organization or whatever you and your state are going to call that. You may not have. If you haven't, then we can certainly help you do that. I've actually created a set called the LLC Wizard. It has 6 modules in it. And what it does is it goes through and it teaches you in audio style and then gives you all of the paperwork that you need in order to set up your LLC in the specific state that you want it set up in. That's actually module 2. Module 3 is the tax considerations of your company, your LLC, and we go into great detail about the taxes because, frankly, how you choose to have it taxed and what you write into your operating agreement concerning taxes makes a huge difference as to how much money you take home. Module 4 is the operating agreement, and that's basically what we're going to go through now. Module 5 in the LLC Wizard course is how to maintain your company, your LLC. And the fact of the matter is 95% of the LLCs, corporations out there, they don't give you any asset protection when you get sued. They fail because you haven't maintained them properly. And yeah, I know there are a lot of statutes even out there, state laws, which say you don't have to maintain an LLC like you do a corporation. Well, I've got news for you guys. When you get sued and you get into court, the opposing party is going to say, look, Your Honor, this is just this guy's alter ego. He didn't treat it like a company. You don't have to treat it like a company either. And what you're going to have to do then is prove that you have treated this as a real company with an arm's length transaction type situation. That's maintaining your LLC. If you can't prove that it was a real company, that it wasn't just your alter ego, then fine, the court says, hey, look, buddy, you didn't do what the law requires you to do to have this company, to treat it like a real company. We can't use the law to protect you, and they do what's called pierce the corporate veil. And yes, it's the same corporate veil as a corporation has. They pierce the corporate veil. There you are, right back to square one, naked as a jaybird. Everybody's a general partner again and personally liable. Frankly, that's the way 95% of the corporations, the LLCs in the United States, end up when they actually get sued. So Module 5 is a big deal, how to maintain the companies. Module 6 talks about how to double your asset protection. And yes, an LLC can give you twice as much asset protection as a corporation can. What it does is it protects the company from what happens to you. I've seen more people lose the assets of their company lately because they got in trouble personally than I have seen people losing their own assets because the company got in trouble. So the LLC will give you twice the asset protection of a corporation, and you need to know about that. That's in Module 6, and also Series LLCs. They're in Module 6. So as we go along, I'm going to make reference to this set that I have called the LLC Wizard. Now, all the information that you need for your operating agreement is in the module or the course that you're now going through. But if you need help in setting up the LLC or any other aspects of maintaining or developing your LLC, or even taxing it, then you'll want to look at the LLC Wizard. Obviously, the first thing you do in setting up an LLC is file the Articles of Organization. Like I say, we assume you've done that. There are some differences state to state, and that's all in the LLC Wizard. In fact, we give you the paperwork for each state in the LLC Wizard. You can set up as many LLCs as you want using the Wizard. I don't care. The little nuances in the Articles of Organization are state-controlled. There really isn't much state control stuff in the operating agreement. The funny thing is, you get to write down how you're going to address the different issues in your operating agreement. If you take the time to write it down, the state will honor that writing. I mentioned earlier, people get the 4 or 5 page operating agreement off of the internet. Is it legal? Absolutely. Does it address all the issues possible in an operating agreement? Does it address all the issues possible in an LLC? Absolutely not. You need the 20 to 30 page operating agreement to address what I consider to be kind of the vital issues. The funny thing is, if you don't write how you want to address an issue down in your operating agreement, then you get whatever the state has. And trust me, the states have addressed all the issues. Your state, I don't care which state it is, it has a 400-page operating agreement, basically. It has 400 pages of laws which address all of the possible issues that the legislature can think of associated with an LLC. If you don't write it down, fine, we just default to the state's version of what happens in that situation. So can you see how a 5-page operating agreement, perfectly legal, but does it really address all the things that you want it to? I don't think so. Your operating agreement here is going to turn out to be 20 to 30 pages long. Now, that's very different than the Articles of Organization. They're only going to be a couple of paragraphs or at most a couple of pages long. And in the LLC Wizard, you're going to learn that you don't want to put anything more in the Articles of Organization than you possibly have to, because those are public documents. If you want to learn more about the LLC Wizard, the package, the 8-hour course that I have for you, then fine, go to llcwizard.com. But like I say, assuming that you've already filed your Articles of Organization or you are planning to file them and you're going to put together your operating agreement, then let's get started. Just filing papers with the state by clicking a couple of buttons on the internet or having your attorney do it for you is not going to give you a functional LLC. I had a computer kid a while back come into the office, and this kid was going to do all my internet stuff. And he was quoting me outrageous prices. You know, we're talking several thousands of dollars to do quite simple things. And I explained to him that I did this and this and this and the LLC stuff. And the kid looked at me and said, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Why would anybody even want to bother with the LLC? I paid $50. I clicked the 3 buttons on the internet. I now have my LLC. End of discussion. And the kid was actually kind of rude to me. And, you know, I went on and said, okay, well, this is what you need to do. This is why we're doing the LLC and this and that and the other. By the time we were through, the kid looked at me and he said, I mean, he'd turned white. He looked at me and he said, could I just swap you my internet stuff if you'd go in and clean up my LLC? He didn't even bother to have an operating agreement. He hadn't done any of the stuff. And trust me, it wouldn't have done him any good had he ever been sued or had a problem. Now, if you've already got your operating agreement, and after you go through this, you decide that, that's probably not the operating agreement I want, that's fine. You can go back and amend your operating agreement and basically create a new one. Use this as your template, and you can customize it when we get through, so you'll get a very unique operating agreement that fits your needs. And by the way, you can amend your operating agreement at any time. We get people coming into the office all the time. They've been sued. They're in trouble. They're going to have to declare bankruptcy. The IRS is coming after them. Something is horribly wrong. And they say, well, can we move all of the assets away from us? Can we give them to our kids so that when we declare bankruptcy, we don't lose our office building or our rental unit or whatever it is? And the answer is no. That's called a fraudulent conveyance. But you can go in and immediately amend your LLC operating agreement to protect the assets that are in the LLC. And we can get pretty good protection from the LLC. It's one of the most important things that you can do if you're in trouble is to have us go in and amend the operating agreement, beef up the asset protection. That's not a fraudulent conveyance. And the funny thing is, the courts say, if you write it down in your operating agreement, as long as it doesn't go against state laws and isn't against public policy, we'll follow what you write down. That's a big deal. The LLC is actually your most flexible business structure. And most attorneys can't tell you why. The LLC has the corporate shield. It's the same corporate shield as you're going to get in a corporation. We'll talk about that. But it's flexible in that you can choose how you want to be taxed. You can have it taxed in all kinds of different ways, and we're going to get into that too. But there's another major reason why you want your LLC, and it's the advantage of the LLC over the corporation. How you write your operating agreement makes a difference as to the asset protection that you get, the corporate shield, plus the other asset protection that you can't get out of a corporation, either a C or an S. We're going to refer to the document that we're making as an operating agreement. A lot of places refer to it as a management agreement. It's all the same thing. It's equivalent to the bylaws in the corporation. We've created a different language for LLCs, but the stuff that we have in an LLC very much mirrors the things that happen in a corporation. Obviously, there are differences because I just told you the LLC has some great advantages over the corporation. My object with you is to design an asset protection and a tax plan using the written document that you write out as your operating agreement. And I want you to avoid the common mistakes that people make every time they set up an LLC. And it doesn't matter if they're doing it themselves, they're getting it off the internet, or the lawyer's doing it for them. I see the mistakes happen all of the time. I've already said that I'm going to assume that you've already filed your articles of organization or your certificate of LLC or whatever you've called it, that you've already done that. The LLC operating agreement is going to establish the rules that you're going to run your company by. You write it down, the courts will uphold it. If you don't write it down, or you have a 3-page operating agreement and haven't addressed the issues, then you're going to get what the state statute says that you get. And do you really believe that the state statute is written for your benefit and not the state's benefit? I don't think so. Their statutes are basically written to protect the state. Does the state really have an interest in protecting your assets if there's a problem, or in seeing to it that you pay the minimum taxes? No. But if you take the time to write it down, they'll honor what you write. And that's a big deal, like I've already said. I'm going to use the word big deal a couple of times because the operating agreement is a big deal to you. Now, the catch is, if you write it down and you establish the rules, the court says you've got to live by those rules. If you don't live by the rules, then the court doesn't have to live by the rules either. and they can do whatever they want, which means you end up with very little asset protection when push comes to shove and you actually get sued. When you get sued, they're always going to sue you and the LLC. The first thing you do is you get into court and you argue, hey, judge, can't sue me, got to sue the LLC over there. See it? And the judge says, yeah, right, provided. Now, the judge is going to go through your rules. If you haven't followed the rules, the judge looks at you and says, hey, look, buddy, you didn't do what your rules said you had to do. You didn't do what the law requires you to do. I can't use the law to protect you. And he does what's called pierce the corporate veil. And all of your assets are then available to the creditors of the LLC. And that's not what you want. You've probably heard people, lawyers, other people say, oh, the LLC's easy. You don't have to do the formality stuff that you do with the corporation. Technically, that's true. In fact, many statutes even say, hey, you don't have to do this formality stuff. Point of the matter is, and I'm going to tell you, yes, you do have to do the formality stuff. Because the first thing I'm going to do when I sue you is I'm going to get you into court. I'm going to sue you and the LLC, and I'm going to say, look, Your Honor, this isn't a real company. This is just this guy's alter ego. It's just him operating under a different name. You then have to prove to the judge, no, this is a real company. And the way you prove that it's a real company is through these corporate formalities. Same corporate formalities, LLC and corporation. Did you commingle money? Did you do all of this and that and the other? It's not hard. In course 5 of my LLC wizard, I'm going to give you a system. And you can do it, I'm talking maybe 2 hours a year. That's not bad to maintain your asset protection. I had a California businessman, he runs a big ad agency in L.A., call me up a while back and he says, Lee, I need your help. I got to do my LLC. I got screwed. Gotten his LLC papers off the Legal Doom site. And funny thing is, he actually got sued. He says, I got into court. It took the judge exactly 15 minutes to set aside my LLC and say that the company creditors could come after me personally, and I got eaten by the alligators. I don't want to have that happen again. I need your help. We do know how to help, by the way. We had a young attorney in the office, and this guy kept score. And he's been up against 103 corporations LLCs. Out of the 103, do you know how many of the corporate shields he has pierced and been able to go after the owners directly? 103. I'm going to estimate that 95% of the LLCs out there do not give the advertised protection when you actually get sued. Whenever our young attorney wants to go after a corporation or an LLC, first thing he does is he asks for the bylaws or the operating agreement. And he sits down and he starts to read it. What do the members do? What do the managers do? And the funny thing is, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, we get to pierce the corporate veil. If you haven't followed the rules, it's just an alter ego. The best way to explain the operating agreement is to just start going through it. We're going to go through it, not line by line, but section by section anyway. And I'm going to give you a little discussion as to why that section's there, whether or not you can take it out, what it's supposed to do, what you can't do with it. What choices did you have when you wrote that section? And I'm going to give you the advantages and the disadvantages. And by the way, it's just as important that you know disadvantages. You need to print out a copy of the operating agreement template that you've downloaded so that we can go through it and you can read it as we go along. While you're printing out your operating agreement, let me talk about a little hierarchy stuff for 2 seconds. The state has a statute that governs LLCs. And there are certain provisions in that statute that have to be followed. So you can't write an LLC operating agreement that would violate or conflict with those state statutes. That's the highest priority. The state statute required stuff. Then comes the articles of organization. The stuff that you file with the state. It usually doesn't have a lot of information in it. What you write down in the articles of organization take precedence over the operating agreement if there's any conflict in the two documents. Then comes the operating agreement. You get to write it down. If you don't write it down, then the state has in their statute a bunch of what we call default provisions. You have the right in your operating agreement to address each one of those default provision issues, and you get to define or do whatever you want in the area of the default provisions. If you don't take advantage of that opportunity and write it down yourself, then you get what the state says on the issue as its default position. Frankly, you don't want a lot of the default provisions. You might note that the operating agreement is never filed anywhere. You write it, you put it in your filing cabinet. It's the guts to your company, the operating manual, and you're going to refer to it when you get sued or when somebody demands to see the operating agreement. Then you have to show it to them. So it has to be in existence, and those people are going to want it on a very short notice. One of the businessmen in our state, and there pretty much isn't anybody in our state that's over the age of 20, that can't tell you exactly what the name is and what they do. It's been a year or so ago, the patriarch of the family was dying. And one of his daughters came to me and said, "Look, Lee, I want you to review everything so that when Dad dies, we don't go through probate, we don't have business snags, there's no problem. And, by the way, Dad's expected to die this week." So I said, okay, well, hurry. Let's get everything and start looking at it and see if we can find some big holes anyway. I said, "You operate a multi-million dollar company as an LLC, correct?" "Yes." "Good. I want to see the operating agreement. I want to see the articles of organization and the operating agreement." Well, these people, they have the biggest law firms in the state. They have the biggest accounting firms in the state. They have the best of everything, and they couldn't come up with the operating agreement. It took them about 3 days, and you got to remember, Dad's dying in 2 or 3 days. It took them 3 days to find the operating agreement. Finally, they found it. The accountant had it. So they hurried and hustled it into us, and I sat down and started to read. And the funny thing is, you actually read the piece of paper. What it says on that operating agreement, the piece of paper, makes a difference. So I started to check off the elements of an LLC. And we're going to talk about those in detail. They didn't have what's called continuity of life. Don't get shook. I'm going to explain that later. Which means that as soon as one of the members dies, the LLC disappears. It's gone. Doesn't mean that the LLC goes on forever, that the LLC has a perpetual life, or 20-year life, or whatever you've chosen. It means that when a member dies, the LLC dies. So they didn't have continuity of life. Dad dies, this LLC is toast. It's gone. Now we can go in, we can doctor it, we can fix it up, we can rejuvenate it and bring life back into it. But I explained this. Then I started to ask some other questions. And the funny thing is, each one of the kids had chunks of this company, membership interests. One of the brothers had died 3 years earlier. That means 3 years ago, this company died. Now, they haven't been sued. They've been filing their taxes. The IRS is going to be happy. However, if they had been sued, I, as an attorney, would have sat down, and many attorneys wouldn't catch this, I might point that out, but I would have sat down and gone through the operating agreement, because the operating agreement's where I'm going to get you, and I would have started to ask the questions. As soon as I found out that one of the members had died 3 years ago, I turned to the judge and I say, "Look, Judge, these guys don't have an LLC. It's gone. It left 3 years ago." And basically at that point, I have a very good opportunity to pierce the corporate veil and go after the owners directly. I can get their personal assets. The operating agreement, it's a document that you need to prepare now up front. It's going to control your LLC business purpose, the conduct, the affairs of the members, the relationship of the members to each other and to the manager. It controls everything. Let's get started with the introduction. It simply defines the document as an operating agreement established on such and such a date and signed by the members whose signatures are at the bottom of the agreement. The date could be the same date as the articles of organization were filed. but it isn't usually that date. It's the date on which you have your first meeting, your organizational meeting. And that could be a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months even, after you actually file the Articles of Organization with the state. You might also note that that doesn't actually have to be the date that you actually start business on, according to your IRS records. You're going to file an EIN number, Employee Identification Number, and you're going to learn that you don't want to start business, quote, until you absolutely have to, and you do not file for an EIN number until you have to.